Welcome to the Victory Orlando podcast. We exist to reach people with the life-giving message of Jesus and to connect them with their purpose. To learn more about us, visit us at victoryorlando.com. Thanks for listening. We pray that you are encouraged and inspired by today's message.
Luke chapter 10. I believe this is an important passage of scripture for us today. It says, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he encountered robbers who stripped him of his clothes and his belongings. They beat him, and they went on their way, leaving him half dead. Now, by coincidence, a priest, a religious person, was going down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, a person who was part of the law, he also came down the place, the same place, and he saw the man, and he passed by on the other side. But the Samaritan, a foreigner, someone who was different, someone who had experienced the grace of God, the grace that says you don't get what you deserve, but you get what God would give you, the grace that helps you to change, this type of person who understood that grace. This man was traveling, and he came upon this person in need, and when he saw him, he was deeply moved with compassion. And he went to him and he bandaged his wounds and he poured oil and wine on them to soothe and to disinfect the injuries. And he put him on his own animal and he brought him to an inn and he took care of him. And on the next day, he took out money, 2 denarii, 2 days' wages, and he gave it to the innkeeper and he said, you take care of him and whatever you spend, I'll repay it to you when I return. And then Jesus said, which of these three do you think proved himself to be a neighbor to the man who encountered the robbers? Jesus asked and they answered, well, the one who showed compassion and mercy on him. Then listen to Jesus' challenge. And Jesus said to them, go constantly and do the same. The word of the Lord for us today is simple and it is this. Compassion is key. Compassion is key in order for us to do what God has called us to do. You want to make a difference in your life? Compassion is key. Jesus said, go constantly. In other words, don't just stop with something good that you did 5 years ago. Don't just stop because you gave food at the food pantry. Don't just stop because you were a part of Serve Day. Don't just stop because you went on a mission trip. Don't just stop because you gave money in the offering. Don't just stop because you attended a church service. But go constantly and do likewise. Do the same. Help people with compassion. So the word for us today is compassion. Understanding that compassion is key. That we need to be people of compassion. If you were to be in a crowd and you were to come upon a person in need, what would your response be? Would your response be like the religious person as they saw the person in need and their immediate response was to cross to the other side and probably to think or to say to themselves, man, what is wrong with that person? Why doesn't that person get themselves together? Or maybe the person of the law who walks by on the other side again and says, you deserve exactly what you get. You probably went through some bad situations and it was your choice. And so you're just going to deal with that problem the rest of your life. You deserve it. Or are we going to be like the Samaritan, a foreigner, someone who's received grace, someone who's been picked up out of the pit, someone who understands what it's like to go through situations, someone who understands what it's like to be in a bad spot every now and then and have someone help you out. And then that Samaritan just walked up and helped that person. Friends, I believe that Jesus has called us to be that type of person. I believe that Jesus has called his church, his followers, his disciples to be the person that would reach out, to be the person that would go the extra mile, to be the person that would have compassion, not live in judgment, not live in condemnation, not condemning everyone, but be a person that can lift others, be a person that can encourage others. You know what I find is that when I read the scripture, I feel better. When I get in the presence of God, he lifts things off of my life. Why? Because God is not your problem. Shake your head because some of you just need to hear that. I said, God is not your problem. God is constantly trying to help you. And in fact, he's going to send people to help you. And then once we receive help, God allows us to then become the help in someone else's life. Compassion is key to being used by God and doing great things in this life. And here's the good news. Every single one of you can be used by God. You know, a few years ago, I remember my wife, she was at the house. I was out of town and she called me one day very frantic. She said that there's something wrong with our vehicle. And I said, well, you know, explain the situation to me. She said, well, I went out to the car. I put the keys in the car and I tried to turn the ignition and nothing would happen. She said, I put the key in, I turned, and she said, it wouldn't even turn. Something is wrong with our vehicle. And I said, are you sure? Come on, how many husbands know what I'm talking about? Right? I said, are you sure? So then I walked her through a scenario. I said, okay, take the key. I'm on the phone. Put me on speaker. She walks out there. I said, okay, now put the key in. Put your foot on the brake. Just shimmy the wheel a little bit. I mean, there's got to be a solution here. How many know what I'm talking about? And so she's turning. She's shimmying. She's got her foot on the brake. And still nothing is happening. Now that, I mean, that's about all the mechanic that, you know, the mechanics that I know about fixing car situations. And so, you know, I thought, well, she's obviously not doing something right. And so, you know, I told her, do it again. She said, nope, the car, it's not working. I said, well, the car must be broke. I guess you're just going to have to drive something else or get a ride. And so that went on for probably 30 minutes. So she went back in the house. She got her family members to, you know, help her out that day. And I got home the next day and I was really frustrated. I thought, man, what is wrong with this car? I mean, this car should be running and there's got to be an explanation. So I went to the house and I grabbed the keys and I went out to the car and I put that key in and I tried to turn it and the same problem. So now I know it's not user error. Come on, how many of you husbands, you would have done the same thing thinking, okay, it was probably user error. I can show you. And there's the same thing. And so I looked at that key and I looked at the car and I thought, man, what is wrong with this car? And then all of a sudden I looked at the key a little closer and I thought, this key looks a little different than the normal key. And I went back in the house and I went over to where the keys were and I realized there was another key that looked exactly the same as the key that we had and it belonged to my wife's mother's car. Same brand. Same year, different make, but the keys were the same. And I looked at them and I thought, I wonder if we've been using the wrong key. So I put the old key down. I grabbed that new key. I went out to that car. And you know what? I put that key in and immediately that thing turns. Now, in one sense, I was a bit frustrated. In another sense, I was a bit excited that it wasn't going to cost me $1,000 to fix my car. But what I realized is that the key makes all the difference. That when you have the right key, then you can get where you need to go in life. And friends, let me just tell you that compassion is the key. That compassion is the key in serving the Lord, in doing great things for God, in being used by God to make a difference in this life. Whether it's raising your children or being the right spouse or running that business. Compassion is the key. Why? Because God has showed compassion upon us. You didn't deserve what you get from God. He gives it to you freely. We deserve death. We deserve darkness. We deserve being an outcast. But God says, because of my grace, I'm going to bring you into my riches. Because of my grace, I'm going to forgive you of your past. Because of my grace, I'm going to give you a fresh start. We didn't deserve it, but God showed compassion on us. And as someone who's received a lot of compassion from God, we should be those who give compassion. So you've got to have the right key in order to be used by God in the way that God has a desire to use you. Did you know that God wants to use all of his children? In fact, one of the greatest passages of scripture is the Great Commission. Matthew 28, Mark 16, where Jesus looks at his followers and he says, go everywhere and tell everyone about me. He says it to everyone. And one of the keys for us going everywhere and telling everyone is the key of compassion. Compassion is who we are as Christians. I like to say it like this. Compassion is really entry-level Christianity. It's not something that you need to acquire after going to Bible college or sitting in church for 15 years. No, compassion is something you receive at the moment when you receive salvation. You receive compassion, and now you're empowered to then give to other people. To be compassionate with those who are hurting and lost and broken. To be compassionate with those who are addicted and have strongholds in their life. Not thinking, oh, what is wrong with that person, but really having compassion and thinking, what can I do to help them? And you know, I believe that God has called us as a church and us as individuals to be compassionate. I believe that God has positioned us here in Orlando to make a difference. And we're not going to make a difference just by gathering on a consistent basis. We're going to make a difference by going. We're going to make a difference by being compassionate to the neighbors across the street and to the parts of town that other people won't go to that we can reach out and we can go to. We're going to make a difference here in this city by taking food and things to those in need. We're going to make a difference by helping in practical ways and helping share the gospel of Jesus with. We're going to make a difference because compassion always leads to action. And the action on the other side of that is always bringing people closer to Jesus. We're not talking about just doing good things for the sake of doing good things. We're talking about helping people and bringing them closer to Jesus. Because at the end of the day, that's all that matters. Eternal rewards. Helping people to find God and to understand their purpose in this life. You know, in this story, there's a couple of keys that I want to point out for us today. And then I have a friend that I want to introduce to you that I want to interview and share a few thoughts for us today. But there's two things that I noticed from this story of the Good Samaritan. The first is that compassion recognizes the need. The Samaritan was just like the Levite and just like the religious person, but the Samaritan recognized the need and then did something about it. You see, the Levite and the religious person, they saw the need, but someone who recognizes the need figures a way to help. They figure out, you know what? That need can be met. You know what? I got a few dollars. I can help that situation. So the Samaritan recognized the need. Someone who has compassion recognizes the need. I mean, all of us can look at the statistics of what's going on in the world today, but someone with compassion recognizes, you know what? I can do something. Just lift up your right hand like you're in court. Come on, some of you have been there before. Now, when I ask you the question, who's God going to use in the earth? What should your response be? Who's God going to use in the earth? Who's God going to use in the earth? He's going to use us. He's going to use you. He's going to use me. So we need to understand that compassion is key, and we can recognize the need. Others only saw the problem, but compassion saw the need in the man's life and a need that needed to be met. You know, as I think about individual stories and situations, I remember in my own life, almost 22 years ago now, when I was 17 years old and I went to West Africa as a selfish teenager, wasn't serving the Lord, went because of the adventure and the girls who were on the trip. I'm praying for all those that are going on missions this week to have the right intentions. But even if you don't, God will still get a hold of you. And as I went, God did something in my heart. You know, for 17 years, I didn't understand what it meant to help other people. I thought it was all about me. Because when you grow up in American society, then from the time that you're born, everybody tells you it's about you and your mom and your family. Everybody coddles you, especially if you're the baby like I was. And so you think it's all about you until your eyes are opened one day. And my eyes were opened in a little village in West Africa, and I realized that life is not just about me. That actually life is about helping other people. And I made a commitment as I surrendered my heart to the Lord on a missions trip, a young adult with wrong intentions and desires who now have surrendered those desires, and God shifted something in my heart, and I actually felt compassion. I felt compassion when I looked at the people. I didn't look at them with disdain. I didn't look at them for their problems. I looked at them with a different set of lenses. And it wasn't a set of lenses that I'd ever had before. It was something that God gave me. And I realized this is what it looks like to help people. And God shifted something in my heart. And I can tell you that honestly, because God shifted something that 22 years ago, that's the reason that I'm here today. That's the reason that we started this church in Orlando. That's the reason that we do missions trips. That's the reason. Because God shifted something in my heart. And I just made a commitment to the Lord. I said, God, if this is what it's like helping people, then I want to do this the rest of my life. I don't know where, how, with who. I don't know the resource. I don't know any of those things. But I just want to help people. Now, people don't always understand that. And sometimes people look at that and they say, well, you know, why do you do this? And why do you give up that? Why do you focus on that? It's just because we want to help people. And compassion recognizes the need. But then compassion doesn't stop in recognizing the need. The second thing that it does is compassion responds in love. And I want to encourage you that we want to be known as a church that responds in love. We want to be those who respond in love. Just like that Samaritan recognized the need, then he responded in love. And he didn't come over to the man and say, you know what, man, you need to get your stuff together. You're laying here on the ground. I mean, all your stuff's all over the place. You don't have very much. He didn't act like that. He said, hey, let me help you. Bandaged him up, put him on his horse, took him to the place, gave his money. Said, hey, if it costs any more, let me take care of it. He responded in love. He didn't even ask the guy, well, how did you end up in this situation? He just said, you know what? I want to help you out. And that's the heartbeat of God, is helping people. And I believe here in Orlando, you just have to watch the nightly news to realize that people are in need, that people need help. And I know there are people even here this morning in service that you may be in a situation where you're in need. You might be sitting next to a person who's in extreme need and you have no idea. But you know what? The heartbeat of God moves us to do something. Compassion never leaves us just sitting in one place. Compassion always compels us to action. It responds in love. So we recognize the need, we respond in love. Today I have my friend with me, Bernie Moore. He travels all around the world, specifically in countries in Africa and India, and really reaching out to some of the most remote places of the earth. And several years ago, God got a hold of him and changed his heart and his life and his focus. And he's just recently moved back here to Orlando. And I asked him to come today and just be a part of church. And when he told me he was in town and he was here, I said, well, why don't you just come up and share a little bit of your story? Because I think you guys will be encouraged by my friend's story today. So would you put your hands together and welcome Mr. Bernie Moore as he comes. Now, Bernie, amen. You have been in some places that you can't even find on a map.
Correct.
You sent me a message a few months ago. You were in southern Sudan, northern Uganda, somewhere that I don't even think it exists, but you found it.
Yeah.
And just share just briefly, we're talking about Compassion Day, but just share briefly what it is that you do just to give people a little context Amen. Of what's happening.
Well, first of all, I just want to honor you and Sarah for all that you're doing here in Orlando. And Victory Orlando is amazing. The Spirit of God here is just so wonderful. And so we just honor you. My Amen. Wife and I honor you guys. So, yeah. So just real briefly, my name is Bernie Moore. I'm an evangelist. We go all over the world bringing the bread of life, the love of God and his precious gospel to those who don't know, literally have never heard. They don't know, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, the reality is our heart, the heartbeat of our ministry is to go where nobody wants to go, where it's not easy, it's not comfortable, where many of times we have risked our lives, including just a couple of years ago being chased out of India at a big, massive gospel crusade we had held there, been in Pakistan several times, and of course all over Africa. But the compassion that you're talking about, Pastor Caleb, is just, I think it's a thread that runs through the heart of God and that should run through our hearts for the lost to go reach and rescue the lost, even if it's just walking across the hall or across the street or across the soccer field or to a neighbor, a friend, coworker, that we need to bring his love to those that we may think don't need to know or don't need what we have, but deep inside they are crying out for truth and for love and for something real. Mm. And I know that you guys probably at some point in your life have had something similar happen to you, or that you have kind of bought into the voice of the Lord on the inside saying, I need to go tell so-and-so, Michelle or Kim or Brian or Michael. And needless to say, the walls have come down the minute you started opening up your mouth to share the love of God with them. And so, yeah, this whole compassion theme is really the foundation of what we
do. So what was it in your life? Why would, you know, you grew up in Louisiana. I mean, I know that's another country.
Yeah, as God's country, by the way. Come on, somebody.
They eat stuff that shouldn't be eaten.
That is true.
What was it in your life? Because, I mean, it wasn't that you just ate too many crawdads and then one day you're like, I'm going to go to crawfish, crawdads. They're all bad, whatever they are. What was it in your life?
So it's a great question. You know, when I was 8 years old, I was watching a Billy Graham crusade on TV. And my mom and I were in our little house there. My dad was a medical salesman. He traveled a lot. And so we're sitting there in the house watching this Billy Graham crusade. And during the altar call, you guys have all seen it, there are floods, thousands of people coming out of the stadium onto the field and giving their hearts to Jesus. And I literally, at 8 years of age, my eyes welled up with tears. And my mom looked at me and said, Bernie, one day you'll do that. One day you'll help a lot of people. And those words have never left my heart. Like, to this day, I can remember it like it was just last night. That's why I always tell parents, be careful of the words you speak over your children. They will remember.
It's good.
And so from that point forward, I always had in me a desire, a deep desire to help people, to really go and tell people about the love of God and how fun it is being a Christian. So years later, I started working for my spiritual father, Reinhard Bonnke, here in Orlando, and started traveling with him to Africa. And the first crusade was in 2007 in Agbor, Nigeria, where I was sitting on stage. And Caleb, it was amazing. It was sitting there on stage. There's 500,000 people in the crowd. I couldn't even see. I mean, it was just a vast sea of souls. And there he is preaching the gospel and people weeping and crying and raising their hands and miracles taking place. And it was at that moment the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, this is what I've called you to do. And so for the next several nights, I had dreams or visions of being 8 years old and those words my mom spoke over me. And then, of course, Pastor Bonnke and all these things intertwined together to bring us to where we are today.
Now, in what you do, you go, you know, and I want you guys to hear this because we talk about missions. I want to try to help connect the dots to the world that's out there, the world that's beyond, you know, the world that we live in here.
Yeah, sure.
Now, in the last 10 years, almost, I think over 900,000 people or something have received
Close
Christ.
To a million.
Is that right?
Well, just under a million people.
Almost a million.
Almost a million people.
So a million people, that's a number. That's exciting. I mean, God loves all of them. But tell me a story that will help us to understand this whole thing of compassion.
Yeah.
Because that's a million single individuals who are now going to have an eternity in heaven.
Yes, amen. Okay, so do we have time for two stories?
Yeah,
I'll try to speed it up because I know everybody's hungry. And so Jesus had compassion on the crowds. We see this over and over again. Crowds followed him. He had compassion on them, whether it was feeding the 5,000 or whether it was the woman at the well who ran down and told all the city, come see a man. By the way, that's what Jesus has called us to do, to tell everybody, come see a man, you know, that's told me everything I've ever done. And so the crowd came out, and it was the famous scripture that we always see for the harvest. Don't look and say the harvest is coming. No, the harvest is now. The harvest is ripe. The harvest is today, which, by the way, it's amazing you guys are going to the DR. It's incredible. But the harvest is now. So here it is. Last year, actually, I was in South Sudan. My crusade director called me. He says, we got to get to South Sudan. We've been trying to go. We originally planned a crusade 6 months prior to us going, but then they closed the country down. They wouldn't let us in because they shot a plane down out of the sky, the rebels, and anyway, it's just a mess. So he says, look, it's open. We got to go. We've got this time. And I said, man, it's going to cost us $40,000 to get there. We don't have $40,000. Let me call up a few people. And so I called Pastor Caleb, and he hung up the phone on me. But anyway, I'm just joking. Anyway.
I don't think I knew you then.
Yeah. So we go. True story. So we go and we plan this massive crusade. There's probably 80 to 100,000 people there. I had a pastor from Louisiana come with me. Couldn't believe his eyes. We had this massive crusade. God is moving mightily on this vast crowd. And here it is. People are getting saved and healed. And it was just a beautiful sight. And people were asking me before I went, what in the world are you going to South Sudan? Matter of fact, I had a Navy SEAL friend of mine. He said, Bernie, I just went on a rescue mission to empty the U.S. embassy. And our helicopter, we had two of them, got shot up. And we were spilling gas. And it was a miracle that we even got there. He said, you don't need to go. And I said, no, this is what Jesus called us to do.
Yeah.
We have got to go rescue lost souls. And so thank God we did, because we had a massive, massive, massive harvest of souls that came in that week. Well, needless to say, we left at midnight on a Monday night. On Tuesday, when I landed in Amsterdam, I got on my phone to check my emails and stuff. And right there on the front page of Fox News and CNN, all the websites, they said, South Sudan, the vice president tried to overthrow the president, and war has broken out once again. And tens of thousands of people in the very area that we just had a crusade were fleeing to Uganda to get away from the rebels and stuff. And the Lord spoke to me. Just 24 hours earlier, we were there having a massive crusade. The window of opportunity, you know, the famous saying, the opportunity of a lifetime must be seized within the lifetime of that opportunity. Mm. The reality is our opportunity here, Victory Orlando, is now.
Yeah.
And we have seen just the prying of the Holy Spirit speaking to us to go into these areas where nobody wants to go. So I said all that to say, leading into my second short little story, in the midst of these vast crowds are thousands of individual stories,
yeah,
including the story of a little Muslim girl who is 8 years old that came to one of our crusade events in Pakistan. And her mom, the very last night that we were there, brought, her name was Keenan, 8 years old, brought Keenan to the crusade. And she had a tumor on her neck. And so during the call for salvation, they gave their hearts to Christ. And then we prayed for all the sick. And Keenan started tugging on her mom's shirt. She said, Mom, I can turn my neck. I can turn my neck. And there's no more pain. And her eyes swelled up with tears. Her mom couldn't believe it. See, what happened was Keenan's family, yeah, had, they were well-to-do financially. And so they had been to every doctor and every specialist and all the major hospitals in Pakistan. No one could do anything for them. So their neighbor said, hey, you might want to go check out this crusade. It's a Christian event. It's a Jesus kind of a thing. And so for 3 nights, the mom said, no, I ain't going. I'm not going. Well, finally, the final night, Sunday night, the mother caved in and said, well, maybe this Jesus can do something for Keenan. So they came. Jesus touched her little life, healed her instantly. The mom and the daughter, I have pictures. I wish I would have brought them. The mom and the daughter came up on stage. I said, where's the dad? He wouldn't come, because he is a devout Muslim. And so are we until tonight when we met Jesus. She said, I'm going to go home and tell him there's only one God. Mm. And his name is Jesus.
Amen.
And we must serve him.
Amen.
Yeah. And Keenan, she had the most beautiful smile. It was the most amazing thing. I'll never forget, because my daughter at the time was 8. And I thought, man. And here it was, the 8-year-old girl. And then right behind her was an 80-year-old woman carried by her 3 sons on a bed, on a cot. I know you've seen this before. And the 80-year-old woman was bedridden for years. And Jesus touched her. And she got up on stage with the most, I mean, you could tell life had worn on her. But she had the most beautiful smile. And I was looking in that moment at an 8-year-old girl and an 80-year-old woman. And God spoke to me and he said, Bernie, I care for the 8-year-old, the 80-year-old, and everyone in between.
Yeah.
Compassion.
Yeah.
Compassion.
Yeah. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, Bernie, you know, I just wanted to let you share those things, because sometimes we as a church, we don't realize what goes on in the world in which we live. And just as I've, you know, talked with Bernie over different times and heard these stories. I think it's important, you know, in the scope of our everyday life, you know, because most of you aren't going to be, you know, hanging out in southern Sudan on a regular basis. And most of you aren't going to, you know, take a plane and a boat and then walk up a river for 3 days just to get somewhere and tell them about Jesus. But you have a life. You have a world in which you live in. And compassion causes us to do something in the world that we're in. But it's also important for us to realize the world that's out there, the world that is lost, that is hurting, that is broken, that God has called us as believers to do something about. And so I believe that we can make a difference, that if we recognize the need and that if we would respond in love, the scripture says it this way, that as he is, so are we in this life, that we should be like Christ and we should be the hands and the feet of Jesus. In other words, that if Jesus were to walk into a room, how would he respond? How would he act? How would he speak? Who would he help? In the same way, you and I have opportunities. You may be at your job tomorrow morning when you show up. You may have issues with people, but if you think with eyes of compassion, you'll see that person who's an annoyance at your job differently. You'll start to realize, you know what? She's probably going through a lot of difficulty. He's probably been through a lot of hell, and he just needs some help. And so instead of you looking at them with disgust or you judging their situation, you know what? Compassion says, I wonder what they're going through. I wonder why that student acts out all the time. I wonder why that person is so mean to everybody. I wonder why they're so critical. I wonder why they find fault with everyone. Well, when you look with eyes of compassion, you realize that there's just something going on in their life. And compassion says, you know, what can I do to help them? What can I do? You know what you can do? Your response many times will change someone's behavior. So you can respond differently. Why do we as a church give a lot of our resource to help? Over 16% since we started as a church of the resource that comes in to help other people. Some will never see in this life beyond an encounter we have in another country or at an outreach. Why would we do that? Because compassion says, you know what? I'm going to help someone. I'm going to do something. And we have opportunities on a regular basis as you serve and as you help. Those of you that are on the dream team here, I want you to understand this. When you serve and help as an usher or in the parking lot or serving in kids or in the lobby or different areas, you're going on an outreach. Let me just encourage you that it all ties back to helping people. And here's what we've decided since day one. As long as lost people matter to God, they matter to us. I say that again because only half of you got it. I said, as long as lost people matter to God, then they're going to matter to us. And we're going to do whatever we can to reach them. Why? Because we want to be moved with compassion. I don't know what that looks like in your world. For some, it may look like Brother Bernie. God may speak to you, wake you up, shake you up, and then send you to the far-flung parts of the earth to do something. Why? Because last time I checked, God loves the entire world. And just because you didn't see it on CNN or Fox, or just because you can't find it on a map, doesn't mean God still doesn't love those people. And so as believers, followers of Christ, we're going to be moved with compassion. Why am I sharing this with you today? What's the whole point? Well, compassion is key. And here's the heartbeat of God. The heartbeat of God is people. When you think about the whole thing, the heartbeat of God is people. He created an earth. He looked at all that he created and said, you know what? I'm going to create man. He created man to have fellowship with them. Because of man's sin, there created separation. And that separation wasn't God's intention, but it was man's action, their decision that then separated them from the relationship. And God said, well, I have to do something because I love people. I love my creation. I love those who are enjoying my world that I created, but I love people too much. What can I do? And he said, you know what? I got to do it. I got to send my best. I got to send my only. I got to send Jesus. I got to send him. Because it hurts God when people, his creation, are separated from him. It hurts him. Why? In the same way that it would hurt you if your children were running from you, if your children didn't want anything to do with you, if your children disowned you and you couldn't reunite with them. It hurts God when his children aren't connected to him. That's why he sent Jesus. But he did it out of a heart of compassion.
He didn't do it because we deserved it. He did it because he loved us that much. And in the same way, we need to be led and moved with compassion to be used by God. And here's the good news. Every single one of us can do it. Every single one of you. And here's why this is important. When you have a different set of lenses, you see differently, right? When you go outside, the sun is bright, you put a different set of glasses on, you see things differently. Why? Because it helps you. When you get older and you need corrective lenses to see distance or to read up close, I haven't gotten there yet, but I've heard that it happens. Those lenses help you. Well, the lenses I want you to leave with today is the lens of compassion. When you go out to the parking lot and you go eat and you go to your house and your neighborhood, I want you to wear those lenses. And I want you to begin to see things with the heart of God. Because when you see things differently, then it gives you an opportunity to do something differently. When you recognize the need, you can respond in love. That's why compassion is key. You receive that word today? Would you stand to your feet as we have a time of prayer? It's all right if you clap, shout, dance. Can we thank Bernie for coming and sharing what he's doing in the world with us? We honor you today, Bernie. I want to pray for you guys, if you would, bow your heads and close your eyes.